Well, good morning. You all look so ready for a great sermon, right? What a week it's been for me and for us as a church. I think it's a great new beginning, giving me a little bit of joy and love to start something new and great here. I think there might have been some confusion last week when it was announced that my ordination was yesterday. I think some people thought that I was leaving, and that is not the case. I am staying for as long as you need me and will help you to figure out what kind of pastor is coming next and what kind of church that we want to be going forward. So I will leave when you're ready for me to go and not before that time. So I hope that those of you who were at my ordination yesterday had a wonderful time and that you got to know the community there a little bit. We're going to share some time with Holiday United Church of Christ in two services during Lent. Ash Wednesday, we will be there, and it will be an amazing service and not a traditional service, so we'll talk more about that as time goes by. But our Agape Feast is one that we'll share here with them, and it should be a really amazing experience. We might also want to offer up our sanctuary to them sometime soon. The boiler is completely dead there, so trying to heat that sanctuary yesterday for the service was a big deal and took some time and a lot of effort. So they may need a place to land, and I know that this church has been very open to offering space to people before, so just something to think about. I know this isn't really time for announcements, but it's kind of a time for thinking about where we are as church, so that's why I chose to do this now. So today we're going to talk about this scripture where Jesus read from the scroll. It's an important scripture. It never ceases to amaze me that when I sit down to write a sermon that sometimes I think it's going to be easy and sometimes I think it's going to be hard, and when I think it's going to be easy, it's never what it seems. So there's so much more to this scripture than meets the eye, and really I think it is a scripture that we can use going forward for all of our time of thinking of who we are as church, because this was Jesus' mission. This was his beginning thought about who he was in the world at his time, and I think it's a very good thing for us to meditate on. So if you will join me in prayer. Blessed Lord, loving God, Creator, we come to worship you in this sacred place. We honor your presence in our lives. Please bless us as we come for nourishment and growth. Bless our receiving and understanding of what you have for us. Let us read the scroll that you have written for our lives and know that you will lead us in a path of love. Amen. So let's begin with Jesus in the synagogue. I talked about this a little bit with the kids. It was a very different world for the people of God then. They didn't call their churches churches, they called them synagogues. And they were separated into different areas for men and women, and men learned to read the scripture very early on. Hebrew, it's a really hard language to learn. Probably people would say that about Dutch too, and I didn't think it was that hard because I grew up with it. But obviously Jesus was someone who was welcome in the synagogue and welcome to read the scripture. It tells us quite a bit about who Jesus was in that time. And he had just begun his ministry. And so we read that people were excited about the good news that he had for them and knew that he was something special. And he had gone to his hometown. This passage, this little piece, goes on to talk about how he was actually rejected eventually by the people of his hometown. But I didn't feel like that was really germane to what I was talking about today, so I didn't add that in. But I think that if we get so used to something and, you know, so used to our tradition and used to what we do that somehow we worship that and we're more careful about that than we are with what Scripture really says. And Jesus is saying there's something new here today. You are seeing the culmination of this Isaiah prophecy in me today. So let me read again what Jesus said. And I'm reading from the Message, so this is a little bit different than the way Ken read it. Jesus said, God's Spirit is on me. He has chosen me to preach the message of the good news to the poor, sent me to announce the pardon to prisoners and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set the burdened and battered free, to announce this is God's year to act. I think that Eugene Peterson, who translated the Message, really had this sense of Jesus saying that God's kingdom is here right now. We are living in God's kingdom. So if you think about the attitude of Jesus' message here, preaching the good news, giving sight to the blind, releasing the oppressed, and announcing that today is here, that God's kingdom is here, those are things that we are asked to do. It's happening right now in front of us. This is a mission. This is the mission of church, our mission. I pulled out a, not a mission statement, but a plaque or a, something, a covenant that you all wrote, and I'm going to bring it out at the lunch. And it'll be interesting to see how you find these parallels match up and how some of the things that are said talk a lot about traditions from this place. Traditions from this place are important, but this place is all about doing God's work in us here, together, that we're all caring for each other and how we move outwardly and spread that news. Part of the problem with the Israelites and the whole message of the Old Testament is that God said, you are to be a light among the nations. This was the call that God had for the Israelites and to us. But the Israelites kept it all to themselves. If we stay in our own little nut here, then that's what we choose to be. And it's great that we're community together. But if we want to do the whole picture thing, then outward and inward and through and, you know, the whole ball of wax is what we want. So now you have a little bit of a visual about the context of Jesus pulling out this scroll and talking about what his mission is. Jesus was kind of a celebrity in other places, and it's interesting that that was a celebrity, that was a thing that he was, that it's nowhere in that mission statement. So, scripture being fulfilled in our hearing. Yesterday, the pastor who did the sermon for my ordination preached on this, and she talked about us as pastors being the culmination of this, of Jesus' work. And it was really hard for me to put myself in the place of Jesus and say, you know, I'm like Jesus, because that's just... my humility scale just doesn't go there. But I definitely do the work that Jesus wants from me, what I'm called to do. But that is true for every single one of us. We aren't some hierarchical organization that decides who does what. When we have a call to do something, it's inside of us already. And Jesus is saying, the Holy Spirit is on me. So how is the Holy Spirit on all of us today for what we need to do to make this world a world of peace and bring God's kingdom? When we pray this Lord's Prayer that we pray every week, we pray God's kingdom done, God's kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, what is heaven and what is earth? When we think about that prayer, are we saying that somewhere out in the cosmos is this place of heaven, and that God's will can only be done in that place, and that we're sort of begging for that to happen here? We are God's kingdom here. We can be God's kingdom here on earth. When we're asking for God's kingdom to come, we are it. We're the ones who make that happen. I love this passage, and while I was preparing my sermon this week, I've also been really focusing on this book, The Rebirthing of God, John Philip Newell, and I keep showing it to you because you're going to hear so much about it as we go on. And in the introduction of this book, I was reading and I recognized suddenly that everything in Jesus' mission is a chapter heading in this book. And John Philip Newell never mentions that Luke 4 is any part of what he does in this book. So naturally, I think it's just part of what he feels those aspects are important in rebirthing the church. So his chapter headings sound a little bit different, but as you get into what he's really saying, you will see that they are exactly parallel. So the first one, and they're in different order, but the first one for John Philip Newell is reconnecting with the earth. And we'll be going into more depth with this book because it's fascinating and because I think it will help us with all of the aspects of what we're searching for, a new pastor to lead us and a new way of church, a new birth. So, and then reconnecting with compassion, reconnecting with the light, the spirit, reconnecting with the journey, reconnecting with spiritual practice, reconnecting with nonviolence, reconnecting with the unconscious, and reconnecting with love. So John Philip Newell has spent some time on the Isle of Iona, which is a place of the beginnings of Christianity in Scotland and Ireland. It's a place where there's been a monastery since very early on in Christianity and a beautiful place of worship and contemplation. And as we enter Lent in a couple of weeks, we will be in this place. Maybe we need to set up the chapel as Iona and set up some practices that they would do in Iona and have some time where people can come maybe every day or whenever they want to, where they can look at different practices that they do in Iona. But I invite us to prepare ourselves for Lent. It kind of sounds strange because Lent is a time of contemplation and preparation for Easter, but I'm really already in Lent myself. So let's not talk about giving something up, but let's talk about doing something new. And talk about contemplation and what it is for us to go through Lent. What is this contemplation? Because as a church, we are in a place of Lent, a place where we are looking for Easter, for the resurrection, for what that means for this church. And it's a really exciting time. I can feel lots of stirring and wonder. And as we have this celebration of our church anniversary today, let's think about how we can reinvent this church and what is it that's new. We can embrace the old and love that we had the old, but something new has to happen. We need to be like Paul and we need to contextualize and say, you know, how is it that people of this age and of this generation, the new generations coming up, how are they to understand our relationship with God? How can we bring God to them in this new context of the world? So I leave you with that thought.